Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, November 26th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
global stocks sell off hard as concerns surface about a COVID variant in South Africa.
Oil tumbles and bond yields fall as countries cut off travel to the region.
Retail is in focus as U.S. Thanksgiving spending sets a record.
And supply chain issues threaten to rear their ugly head on Black Friday.
It felt like old times as the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade returned. Plus, a bipartisan group of U.S. lawmakers make a surprise visit to Taiwan. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Scott Seidenberg. A recap of Thanksgiving football plus the Knicks and Rangers in action today. I'll have that and more coming up in sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon. Data has a story to tell, and Novalon gives it a voice.
John, global stocks are plunging this morning in response to a new COVID strain. Treasury yields are tumbling. Oil is falling sharply. It's 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 84 points. Dow futures down 805. NASDAQ futures are lower by 180 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 31 32nds. The yield 1.52%. Yield on the 2-year 0.51%. John?
Nathan, let's get the details on the new coronavirus variant identified in South Africa. There are concerns the strain could spark fresh outbreaks. Scientists say it carries a high number of mutations in its spike protein. That's the protein that's targeted by vaccines. Let's get more from Bloomberg Intelligence senior pharmaceutical analyst Dr. Sam Fazeli.
There's thousands of these mutated viruses everywhere. But then when they start forming a cluster, that's when you start worrying. And that really got going a couple of days ago. And of course, it will take at least a week or two to just simply know whether this virus is more resistant to the immunity induced by vaccines or a prior infection. And that's what I'm hoping to see in the next few days. We'll hear more data out of South Africa about how widespread this virus has become, which will tell us about its transmissibility.
Bloomberg intelligence analyst Sam Fazeli says researchers do not yet know if this new COVID variant is more transmissible than others.
What we do know, John, is that South Africa has detected about 100 cases linked to the new strain, and Hong Kong has confirmed 2. We still don't know how deadly this new variant is, though. Michelle Cortez covers health and science for Bloomberg News.
We are still learning almost everything about this variant. The one thing that's clear at this point is that it is spreading at an exponential rate. We knew about 10 cases yesterday, 100 cases today, and now reports coming out of South Africa suggest that up to 90% of sequenced cases are this new variant.
In response to that rapid spread, Bloomberg's Michelle Cortez says countries are restricting travel to Southern Africa. The UK was among the first to do so, followed by Israel and Singapore. Germany's doing the same. And the EU is making plans to follow suit.
And Nathan, the market reaction to this new variant dramatic this morning. S&P futures are down 1.8%. Dow futures are lower right now by 810 points. Let's get more from Bloomberg Markets reporter Christine Aquino.
The mantra of markets this morning is sell first and ask questions later. And we're really seeing that all across the asset classes, particularly in emerging markets, right? Because this particular asset class has really been battered this week by various things, geopolitical risk, risks related to central banks when it comes to Turkey and Mexico. And this was really the last thing that emerging market currencies needed.
Bloomberg's Christine Aquino says haven currencies are benefiting, mostly the yen and the Swiss franc. Stocks in Europe are taking a beating, with benchmark indexes down about 3%. Also seeing big moves in treasury yields. 10-year treasury yield right now is down almost 11 basis points at 1.52%.
And the move in oil is dramatic this morning, John. The new strain is adding to concerns that were already swirling over crude demand thanks to rising COVID cases in Europe. Julian Lee is an oil strategist for Bloomberg News.
The rising COVID cases, particularly in Europe, that's going to restrict demand both for transport fuels and probably also for some industrial fuels. We've seen worries about resurgence of cases in China with a big scaling back of domestic air travel. And as we get closer to the Winter Olympics early next year, there are expectations that, China's energy use will be pulled back in order to meet sort of clean air targets.
Bloomberg oil strategist Julian Lee says this latest concern comes as jet fuel demand was starting to recover. Checking prices now, they are adding to losses. NYMEX crude, West Texas Intermediate's down 6.8%, down $5.33 at $73.06 a barrel. Brent, the international benchmark, is down 5.8% at $77.42.
And amid all the market turmoil, U.S. consumers also in focus this morning. Yesterday was a banner day for online spending. It hit a record. That doesn't tell the whole story, though. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
A record, yes. However, sales may not end up being as strong as initially forecast. An earlier estimate from Adobe Analytics had the upper range figure of $5.9 billion. The firm's revised call is for online spending of between $5.1 billion to $5.4 billion. That breaks down to a rate of at least $3.5 million per minute. Electronics and apparel were among the top categories. Many shoppers were forced online this year since many retailers closed their physical stores for the holiday. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Doug, now we find out how sales will fare inside stores. Today is Black Friday, but this time around, consumers are running into supply chain issues. We get more from Bloomberg Intelligence retail analyst Poonam Goyal.
You know, there's a lot of pieces of the supply chain that are being impacted here. It's just not the port congestion that we hear about. It's labor costs. It's raw material costs. It's also China's zero tolerance policy. A lot of what we consume is from Asia. And if there will be zero tolerance policies applied, then you will see more shutdowns impacting factories' productions.
Bloomberg Intelligence analyst Poonam Goyal says those supply chain problems are leading to fewer in-store promotions.
Outside of the pandemic and Black Friday, another item of note this morning, this is out of China, Beijing asking DD Global to delist from U.S. exchanges. Sources say regulators have asked company management to remove DD from the NYSE on worries over security. This is Bloomberg. It's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. Giant balloons once again floated through Manhattan. High school and college marching bands from around the country were back, and so were the grounds at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. After being crimped by the coronavirus last year, the event returned in full yesterday, though with precautions. Parade staffers and volunteers had to be vaccinated against COVID-19, and most were required to wear masks. Police are looking for a suspect in the fatal stabbing of a man outside New York City's Penn Station last evening. The 36-year-old victim was apparently homeless and approached transit police with a stab wound to the chest. He was taken to Bellevue Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. A vendor working across the street says in the last few months, the area seemed to be getting safer.
The cops is like staying here 24/7. They kick most of them away from here and they get arrested. But it was like really hot spot for drug dealers.
Police say the attack was the result of a dispute outside on the street. A New York City police officer is home from the hospital after being shot in what police describe as an encounter with an armed man in the Bronx. A second officer wounded by the same gunman remains hospitalized. New York Police Department officers and mayor-elect and former police captain Eric Adams lined up and applauded outside a Bronx Medical Center. This officer, Alejandra Jacobs, headed home yesterday. A power outage in Southern California put a damper on Thanksgiving for about 75,000 people. Southern California Edison says they were forced to cut power during strong Santa Ana winds because of the elevated fire risk from power lines and equipment being damaged. This Fontana resident says some of his fellow neighbors are still annoyed that they lost their power on a major holiday.
Had phone calls from some neighbors, and they're indicating that, you know, what are we going to do? We can't cook our birds. We can't, you know, we have no power, et cetera. So they're a little frustrated, to say the least.
Red flag warnings will remain in effect through much of today. A bipartisan group of five U.S. lawmakers have met with Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen during a surprise one-day visit intended to reaffirm the United States' support for the self-governing island. House representatives landed in Taiwan last night. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is now 6:10 on Wall Street, and it's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's Scott Seidenberg.
Thanks, John. Hey, Thanksgiving football triple header yesterday began with the Lions almost coming away with their first win of the season. The Bears kicking a 28-yard field goal as time expired, winning the game 16-14. The Cowboys and Raiders went into overtime. Dallas would punt on their first possession, but the Raiders would march down the field, helped out by the fourth pass interference penalty of the game on the Cowboys, setting up Daniel Carlson from 29 yards out.
As both teams have so much on the line with one kick. Here we go. This time for real. And it is delivered. Good. The Raiders win it.
Jim Nance with the call on CBS. The Raiders improve to 6-5, stay in the playoff hunt. The Cowboys fall to 7-4. In the nightcap, the Bills bouncing back from their loss last week. They blew out the Saints 31-6. Josh Allen threw four touchdowns. On Sunday, the Jets are at the Texans. Rookie Zach Wilson will be back under center after missing the last four games with a knee injury. The Giants will host the Eagles. Philly comes in winners of two straight. Hockey this afternoon, the Rangers are at the Bruins. Tonight, the Islanders host the Penguins. The Devils are at the Predators. Basketball, the Knicks host the Suns tonight. Phoenix coming in winners of 14 straight games. The Nets will host the Suns tomorrow night. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports.
All right, Scott, thanks very much. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street this Friday morning, we have futures down sharply. The Dow futures right now, 763 points lower, pairing some of the earlier losses. That's a 2.1% loss. S&P futures right now down 78. That's a decline of 1.7%. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures 1% lower. That is down 164 points. We have yields lower, the benchmark 10-year at 1.52%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Audi. Reflect on the past, celebrate the future during the season of Audi and drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your tri-state area Audi dealer today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. This flash is brought to you by SEI. Imagine your asset management firm's operational infrastructure is a competitive advantage. Let SEI show you how at seic.com/IMS. The equity sell-off and flight to safety continues on concerns about a new coronavirus variant identified in South Africa. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 78 points. Dow futures lower by 763. NASDAQ futures down 158 points, and the 10-year Treasury is up 1 1/32nd, the yield 1.52%. It's 6:18 on Wall Street, time for your daily Bloomberg Crypto Update, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions just 12 to 18 basis points and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. Now with the latest in crypto news, here's Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
Good morning, Nathan. Bitcoin is falling this morning, along with nearly all risk assets. It's trading below 55,000 and is now 20% since an all-time high set last month. Analysts say the prospect of a new virus strain risks undercutting risk appetite for Bitcoin. The Bank of England is weighing in on cryptocurrencies again. Governor Andrew Bailey says El Salvador's decision to adopt Bitcoin as its currency is troubling. He's concerned consumers will get hit by volatility tied to crypto. Meantime, China is considering setting up a digital asset exchange in Beijing. China's State Council says it will explore the possibility of establishing a bourse for digital assets trading. It's part of Beijing's push to promote usage of a digital yuan and crack down on cryptocurrencies. That's your Bloomberg Crypto Report. I'm Lisa Mateo. Nathan?
All right, Lisa, thank you. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. A new variant of the coronavirus that causes COVID-19 has been identified in South Africa. Health officials say fears of a new strain could fuel outbreaks in many countries, straining health systems and potentially evading vaccines. A bipartisan group of five U.S. lawmakers have met with Taiwan's president during a surprise one-day visit intended to reaffirm the U.S. support for the self-governing island. In the NFL, the Bills beat the Saints 31-6 on Thanksgiving. The Raiders beat the Cowboys in OT 36-33. The Bears beat the Lions on a game-winning field goal 16-14. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:20 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. The World Health Organization and scientists in South Africa studying a recently identified variant of the coronavirus, which has been described as very different to previous versions and of serious concern. Joining us with more now, Michelle Cortez, a healthcare reporter for Bloomberg News. Michelle, thanks for being with us this Friday morning. You're in Hong Kong, I understand. What do we know so far?
That is significant increase in terms of the transmissibility of this variant in South Africa and in Southern Africa. Not only that, we are seeing this infection in some people who have been vaccinated. So what we know is that it's displacing Delta in this region, and vaccines don't necessarily fully protect against it. There are still huge questions out there in terms of the actual variant itself and what it does. Is it more virulent? Is it going to put more people in the hospital? Will it increase death rates? Or will it actually... Those questions are really critical, and we just don't have the answers.
When do we expect to get answers?
Right. Well, so certainly we would be in South Africa and in Southern Africa to be doing the work, these patients, the people who are infected, look like.
We don't know
if they are vaccinated. So
we apologize.
For more details.
We are having some difficulties with the line with Michelle Cortez out of Hong Kong this morning. We apologize for that. What we do know about this particular variant that is showing up in individuals in South Africa is that there are some 32 mutations in the spiked proteins, the spike proteins of the virus, which is the area that the known vaccines do attack. Well, that is Michelle Cortez, our healthcare reporter, Bloomberg News. Thanks very much. Global stocks, U.S. futures, they are falling sharply on news of this new variant this morning. The Dow futures down 773 points. That's off the lows of the session. Right now, down 2.2%. The S&P E-mini futures, 78 points lower. That's down 1.7%. And the Nasdaq futures, down 150 points. That's down 0.9%. Some of that money going into the safety, the perceived safety of U.S. Treasuries, the benchmark 10-year. The price is up, putting the yield lower, right now down 12 basis points at 1.51%. Well, people in the United States waking up to news of this new coronavirus strain as Black Friday dawns, traditionally one of the busiest shopping periods of the year. And at a take the pulse of the consumer is Poonam Goyal, senior retail analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence. Poonam, always a pleasure to check in with you this time of year. So what is the pulse of the American consumer?
The American consumer is pretty strong, and they are shopping. Albeit, I do think most of the shopping will still happen online, but we do expect to see more consumers in stores today when we head out in the next hour.
Now, when you say they're shopping more online, for retailers, how does that impact the bottom line? You got to pay for shipping, right?
You do have to pay for shipping, but you also have BOPIS, depending on who you are. So Amazon, yes, they have to deliver, but they do have their own delivery fleet, so that helps them offset some of the growing shipment costs that others are facing, so they're not as exposed to the higher shipping costs. But then you have retailers like Walmart, Target, Macy's, and some of the other retailers that all offer buy online, pick up in store, and they're encouraging that. You know, I was just shopping at Bath & Body Works yesterday, and basically, if you wanted to order something online, you're paying $6 at least for shipping, but someone could go into the store to pick it up. So we do think we're going to see a lot more curbside BOPIS this holiday.
The online shopping, is that because of concerns about coronavirus?
You know, I think it's a little of that, but I think it's mostly the convenience that it brings. A lot of the deals are available online that are in store. So shoppers don't necessarily need to go to stores to get the Black Friday deal that was once only available if you were in the store.
Are you seeing prices higher this year?
I am. You know, there are deals out there, but prices are higher. We were looking at Wayfair as an example, and they usually offer blanket discounts like 30 to 60% off. And we've noticed those percentage discounts are about 5 to 10 percentage points higher, meaning, you know, if last year the discount was 50%, this year the discount is 40% or 45%.
So doorbusters, the 10-year yield right now, the benchmark in the U.S. down 12 basis points, 1.50%.
Well, amid of all this market turmoil, John, U.S. consumers are in focus this morning. Yesterday was a banner day for online holiday spending. It's forecast to hit a record, but it's also coming in lower than initial sky-high estimates. Adobe Analytics says consumers likely spent as much as $5.4 billion online on Thanksgiving Day.
And it's Black Friday, traditionally the biggest shopping day of the year. This time around, some stores running into supply chain issues. More from Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Logistics Analyst Lee Glasgow.
I would say the good news is that at most major big box retailers, their inventory situations are pretty well. It's probably the smaller retails that are probably struggling to make sure that they have enough inventory for the holiday season.
Bloomberg Intelligence Analyst Lee Glasgow says surging costs tied to the supply chain could squeeze margins for retailers.
All right. Well, outside of the pandemic and Black Friday, we have another item of note this morning. This comes out of China. Beijing is taking aim at another big tech company, asking Didi Global to delist from U.S. exchanges. Bloomberg's Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
Sources say the country's tech watchdog wants management to take the company off the New York Stock Exchange, and that's because of concerns about leakage of sensitive data. Proposals under consideration include a straight-up privatization or a share float in Hong Kong that would be followed by a delisting from the U.S. If the privatization proceeds, the proposal would likely be at least at the $14 IPO price. That's because a lower offer so soon after the IPO could prompt lawsuits or shareholder resistance. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks very much. And concerns over this new variant of the coronavirus sending risk assets lower this morning. The Dow futures right now down 794 points. This is a decline this morning ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, a decline of 2.22%. The S&P futures right now, they are down 79 points, a decline there of 1.7%. Tech-heavy NASDAQ E-mini futures right now down almost 1%, a 155-point decline this morning. Overseas, some of the same reactions. In London, the FTSE 100 down 2.7%, 198 points lower. The German DAX down 2.7%. That's a decline of 424 points. Where's that money going? Into the perceived safety of treasuries and some of the safe haven currencies. The 10-year yield is up in price. That's pushing the yield lower, down 12 basis points right now. We're at 1.50%. The 2-year yield at 0.49%. That's down 14 basis points. And we're seeing movement in the Japanese yen, the perceived safety there, one of the haven currencies, up against the dollar, up 1.3% at 113.91. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak, where it's coming up on 6:33. And time now to bring in Michael Barr to tell us what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. Black Friday shoppers are coming out in force, including here in the tri-state area. This man is taking advantage of Black Friday deals by being the first in line at a GameStop in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
It's definitely worth it. Now I'm going to sleep. I'm going to eat and then go to sleep.
He got the elusive Xbox for his son. Last year, the tradition was severely limited due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Today, about 64% of shoppers are expecting to shop in stores rather than online. That's a more than 10% jump from last year. The crowds, floats, and marching bands were back in Manhattan for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Roll Tide! The University of Alabama Marching Band performed at this year's parade. It was once again an in-person event after last year's virtual event. An estimated 3 million people lined the streets to see the giant balloons, celebrity singers, and, of course, Santa Claus. A special event also returned on Thanksgiving in New York. The families of first responders who have died in the line of duty gathered for a meal. The First Responder Children's Foundation threw its annual Thanksgiving Day Parade breakfast at Bryant Park Grill yesterday. A power outage on Thanksgiving put a damper on the holiday for about 75,000 people in Southern California. Southern California Edison explained that they were forced to cut power during the strong Santa Ana winds events because of the elevated fire risk from power lines and equipment being damaged. However, this Fontana resident put it in perspective.
I suppose I'd rather have excess wind and less power than be burned out of my house and home. A minor inconvenience is nothing compared to losing my house.
Red flag warnings will remain in effect through much of today due to those strong gusts and low relative humidity. Five U.S. lawmakers have met with Taiwan's president during a surprise one-day visit intended to reaffirm the United States' support for the self-governing island. The visit comes as tensions between Taiwan and China have risen to their highest level in decades. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It's 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's Scott Seidenberg.
Thanks, John. An NFL triple header yesterday got kicked off with the Bears defeating the Lions 16-14 thanks to a Cairo Santos 28-yard field goal as time expired. The Lions remain winless on the season. The Cowboys and Raiders played into overtime, tied at 33. Dallas would punt on their first possession. The Raiders would march down the field, though, aided by the fourth pass interference penalty of the day on the Cowboys, setting up Daniel Carson from 29 yards out to win the game 36-33. In the nightcap, the Bills blew out the Saints 31-6. Josh Allen threw four touchdowns. On Sunday, the Jets are at the Texans. Rookie Zach Wilson will be back under center after missing the last four games with a knee injury. Wilson on returning from his injury.
I feel 100% confident in my ability to go out there and play football how I need to play football, you know, and that was kind of what I told the coaches is, you know, I feel like I can go out there and play my game and not worry about it.
The Giants will host the Eagles. Philly comes in winners of two straight. Hockey this afternoon, the Rangers are at the Bruins. Tonight, the Islanders host the Penguins. The Devils are at the Predators. Basketball, the Knicks host the Suns tonight. Phoenix coming in winners of 14 straight games. The Nets will host the Suns tomorrow night. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports.
All right, Scott, thanks a lot. And it is now 6:37 on Wall Street. And it's time to take a look at stocks, some of the names that are moving in the pre-market. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Pretty safe to say totally risk-off in today's market.
Absolutely, John. And you just go right to the travel stocks, which are tumbling as the emergence of a new coronavirus variant in South Africa triggers bans on travelers from that country and its neighbors. And that may be just for starters. The cruise lines are being especially hard hit in early trading. You look across Carnival, Royal Caribbean, Norwegian, all down at least 9%. The airlines, Delta's down 8%, and its peers have comparable losses. Boeing, plane maker, down 6.5% as well. You look at car rentals, you see Hertz Global Holdings down 10.5%. In hotels, Marriott International down 6%. In casinos, Las Vegas Sands down 6.5%. In online travel, Expedia Group down 7.5%. It's safe to say we're seeing comparable losses for all of those companies' peers here, John.
Yeah, and as you see this variant emerge in South Africa, there's concern that maybe everything's going to pull back in. So as a result of that, commodity prices with respect to oil, they are lower.
Absolutely, and we're seeing energy stocks follow right along. You look at ExxonMobil, it's down 5.5%. Chevron down 4.5%. Occidental Petroleum down 7.5%. And then you look at other stocks that have benefited from what you might call the reopening trade, and they're falling as well. Ride-hailing services, Uber's off 4.5%. Lyft down 5%. The movie theater owner, AMC Entertainment, off 6%. Department store chains, especially Macy's, down 6% in early trading. And then on the other hand, the makers of COVID-19 vaccines are higher. You got Pfizer up 6%. Its German partner BioNTech rising 7.5% in U.S. trading. Moderna's up 8.5%. Novavax is up 5%. And then you have all these stay-at-home stocks, as they've come to be known, and they are doing well, too. Notably, Zoom Video, up 9.5%. Now, the video conferencing company had fallen 17% this week in response to disappointing earnings. You look at the exercise bike maker Peloton Interactive, it's up 7%. The telemedicine provider Teladoc Health, up 5%. The food delivery service DoorDash, up 5%. And you can kind of go on from there. But I'll leave you with one more, John. There's a bit of a COVID story here, but something more. Didi Global, the Chinese ride-hailing service, down 4.5%. People familiar with the matter said Chinese authorities asked Didi to give up its U.S. listing. You remember, Didi just went public here in the U.S. in June by selling American depositary receipts and then promptly became the target of a data security investigation.
What's volume going to be like today? About 30 seconds, and does that exaggerate, you know, gains or losses in this case?
There's certainly that potential because post-holiday trading tends to be relatively slow, and, you know, you get people rushing to sell or rushing to buy, depending on, you know, what stock you're talking about in light of this new coronavirus variant. And you may well see some outsized moves. In fact, you're seeing them already in early trading.
Bloomberg Stocks Editor Dave Wilson. Dave, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Dow futures, 814 points lower. S&P futures, 84 points lower. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures right now, down 174 points. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2021 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. On this Black Friday, it is a sea of red for global equities. Let's head right over to the First Word Breaking News Desk for today's morning call with Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Nathan. U.S. futures are plunging amid new COVID variant worries. Dow futures are down 800 points. S&P's drop 82. NASDAQ futures are lower by 160. The U.S. 10-year falls to 1.51%. Gold is up 25. Oil is down 6%. And Bitcoin is plunging 7%. Japan fell 2.5% overnight, while European markets are also under pressure, led by 3% losses in France and Spain. Back in the U.S., nothing to report on the economic front. And in other news on those varying concerns, airlines and cruise operators are plunging pre-market. Boeing is down 6%, while the stay-at-home stocks, Zoom Video and Peloton, are surging in the pre-market. Regarding the Fed, money markets are pushing back bets on a second 25 basis point Fed hike to 2023. And wrapping things up here, Zimmer Biomet was cut to hold over at Argus. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Nathan?
All right, Bill, thanks. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A, go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Nathan, thank you very much. The UK will temporarily ban flights from South Africa and five neighboring countries over worries about a new, dramatically different COVID-19 variant recently identified in the region. Singapore today also moved to restrict travel from South Africa and nearby nations. Retailers are expected to usher in the unofficial start to the holiday shopping season, Black Friday, with bigger crowds than last year and a closer step toward normalcy. However, shortages of shipping containers containers and truckers have helped to delay deliveries while inflation continues to creep around. In the NFL Thanksgiving feast, the Bills beat the Saints 31-6. The Raiders beat the Cowboys in overtime 36-33. And the Bears beat the winless, but very handsome, and they all still love their mother's Lions on a game-winning field goal 16-14. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
You say their mothers still love them, but anyway, thanks, Michael. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes industry-ready engineers in more than 20 fields. If it's engineering, it's at NJIT. More at NJIT.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. China is cracking down on another big name in tech. Beijing is asking DD Global to delist from U.S. exchanges. Sources say regulators have asked company management to remove DD from the New York Stock Exchange on worries over security. Since July, Chinese regulators have launched multiple investigations into the company as part of a broader crackdown on tech firms. Japan is pouring more money into its chip industry. The Japanese government approved $6.8 billion in funding for domestic semiconductor investment. Part of the money will go to TSMC, which is planning a new semiconductor plant. Some will also go to Sony, which has also proposed a new chip manufacturing facility. Japan says it is just the beginning of increased investment in the industry. And Italy and France have struck a new partnership on space. The country signed a cooperation deal focused on the space sector. The treaty will contribute to the creation of a joint European defense, which Italy and France say will be complementary to NATO. And that is the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. John.
All right, thank you, Nathan. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:51 on Wall Street. It's time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital, of course, include fears over the spread of this new variant of the coronavirus. We're seeing other countries, as we heard from Michael Barr, curbing travel. President Biden saying that bottlenecks in the U.S. supply chain are seeing relief after his administration moved to improve operations at the ports. A U.S. lawmaker defying China with a trip to Taiwan. And Vladimir Putin pushing a confrontation with NATO. Also, the White House attacking critics of OCC nominee, the top banking regulator. And let's take a deeper dive into some of these stories this morning with Emily Wilkins, a reporter with Bloomberg Government. Emily, thanks for being with us. A happy Friday. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. The new variant of the coronavirus. What do we know at this point in terms of the reaction out of Washington, or is it just too soon for any reaction at all from the administration? Can't be good news.
This definitely isn't good news. And we're looking at how some of the other governments are responding this morning. We are seeing groups like the top UK advisors saying this is the most worrying yet strain of the virus. And we're seeing the UK announcing Thursday that it's going to temporarily ban flights. We're seeing similar moves from Japan, which is setting up border control measures. And, you know, yes, it was a holiday in the U.S., but definitely going to be a lot of eyes on the U.S. government today to see what, if any, precautions are taken. Still a lot of questions at this point. You definitely are seeing experts say that this new variant is raising concerns, but we don't know yet whether it is going to be resistant to the current vaccines, how it spreads, how quickly it's going to spread. So there's some definite concerns. You're seeing countries move quickly. This recalls a lot of what happened, I think, with Delta and how, you know, masks had been off, bans had been lifted, and then when Delta came through, everyone had to get back to how they were before. And so I think countries are taking this variant very seriously. President Biden has really staked a lot of his administration on moving past the coronavirus. So this is certainly something his administration is going to be keeping a very close eye on. And I would expect that we would be hearing more news from President Biden on this either over today, over the weekend, or into early next week.
And he thought he was going to be on vacation. Now, the supply chain issues, some of the issues are being cleared up. The president is taking a bow. I mean, he might as well, because he got blamed for a lot of it as well, too, correct?
Exactly. I mean, this is something where this is a global issue. But President Biden, you know, he has been on this tour going to L.A. and the L.A. ports, going to a Baltimore port, really trying to encourage ways within the U.S. to increase some of the transportation and hope of easing some of these bottlenecks. Of course, John, this doesn't solve the entire problem. This is something that currently is occurring globally due to COVID-19. But President Biden is trying to do something to show that he is alleviating the economic concerns of Americans. I mean, this also plays a little bit into the moves we saw recently of him asking to tap into the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. That's really in response to high inflation, to recognizing that the prices at the pump has gone up, and recognizing that Americans are very frustrated about it. And even though there's only so much the U.S. president can do, President Biden is trying to show the American people that he can at least be responsive to their concerns and that he understands what they're facing is an issue for them.
Okay, moving on to our next story. China not too happy with a planned trip by a U.S. lawmaker to Taiwan. We know the issues there. Who is this lawmaker? Why is this individual going?
So we actually have a group of lawmakers who decided to go on this trip. The number one who sort of gave a very tough response to China is Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin, a Democrat from Michigan. But she's not the only one on this trip. She's also accompanied by a congressman from Texas, from California, as well as a Republican from South Carolina, Nancy Mace. But going back to Alyssa Slotkin for a minute, one of the reasons she's on this trip is because of how her district is impacted by semiconductors. She's from Michigan, obviously a state that's really impacted by the auto industry. And so that's part of the reason that she went. She noted in a tweet that the auto industry's largest supplier of these microchips is Taiwan. And so this is once again going back to the supply chain is part of the reason that she listed for being on this trip.
The next story we have, President Putin pushing a confrontation with NATO. The troop buildup near Ukraine by Russia, is this getting the United States to pay attention? Is that the motivation behind it?
I mean, there's definitely some speculation that this is coming at a time where President Biden has very clearly announced that he wants the focus of his administration to be on the East, to be on China, to be on Beijing. And so you're seeing Putin potentially sort of take advantage of the fact that Biden's focus is not necessarily on Russia to begin this buildup again. And there are lots of questions about what is going to be happening. The reporting from Bloomberg really lays out the complexities and the background of Putin's relationship and Russia and Ukraine's relationship as well as Putin's desire to potentially pull another move as he did in 2014 with Crimea. And I think there's a lot of questions at this point about what Putin's next move is going to be. Remember, Biden hasn't ignored Putin. He did do a meet with him earlier this year. But at the same point, President Biden was hoping to really focus his time, effort, and energy on China, and this is certainly going to be something else that's going to be taking up some of the time for him and his administration.
Em, thanks a lot. Always a pleasure. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. And you could read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Risk off day. Dow futures right now, 826 points lower, down 2.32%. The S&P futures down 83 points. That's a decline of 1.8%. And the NASDAQ futures right now, 166 points lower, down 1%. Just ahead, Bloomberg surveillance. I'm John Tucker for Nathan Hager. You've been listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.